Hoping he'd key change and keep going higher and higher and higher and see if he could hit those real high notes. Thank you, Brother Benefield. That was wonderful. What a message that song has. All right, trick-or-treaters, we have to hurry now. If you have your Bibles, let's open them to the book of, here we go, Psalms. Psalms chapter number 56, if you will. 56, do we need to turn any of these off, Brother Mark, or we're good to go? We're good? Okay, good. Okay, Psalm chapter 56. Someone shared with me in between Sunday school and church that someone they've been praying for in a foreign country. They prayed for months and months and months for them to get saved. They got saved this morning. And I'll let them share the story with you if they want to. But this lady was just so excited. Pastor, my friend just got saved. And I just found out. They just texted. And that's wonderful. Never get over someone getting saved. I saw the granddad this morning when he got baptized. You know, his wife's funeral was during COVID. And we did his wife's funeral under that tent outdoors. And so now he's raising his own grandson. And so he's not quite my age, but the grandson's 12. So he's just kind of starting all over. And now that's him and the grandson. And to see them make a public commitment to Christ, you know, that's huge today. It's just huge. So I hope you're catching and seeing all these things that the Lord's doing. Don't come to church and miss it. It's kind of like that lady, she came home and she asked her husband, did you see Miss Smith's new hair color? He said, no, I didn't. Did you see Miss Jones's new dress? He said, no, I didn't. She said, why do you bother even going to church? So you want to make sure you're catching everything that you can. And so Psalms chapter number 56, we're going to turn to several passages so you may remain seated. And the title of the message that we announced this morning is Becoming a Fear Remover. A Fear Remover. Fear is so common. There's so many types. It affects us, as we said this morning, physically. Brother Benefield, we're talking how it often causes baldness. And when people are very fearful, the hair not only turns white, it turns loose. And no, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't say that this morning. I knew Angela would like that. But it causes physical problems. It causes premature aging. It causes heart rate to go up. It even causes arteries to become clogged. It can cause fibromyalgia, migraines, all sorts of diseases. Fear. It affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. You've met some people who are just too afraid to do anything. They just pull the curtains and that's it. It's fear of people. And then they grow. And things, one little negative thing, and it grows and grows and grows. And they're just so fearful, they can't even make a decision. So we want to speak about that tonight. Look over here, a little ring here. Psalm 56, and let's look down at this scripture. David here speaking. And of course, David is the one that faced a giant. He's the one his son tried to kill. He's the one the king tried to kill. He's the one that the enemy armies tried to kill. He slept in a cave. He ran much of his life. His life was in danger. Notice what he says. 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So David didn't say, I'm a mighty warrior, look at me. He didn't point to himself and beat on his chest. He said, what time I am afraid, in other words, there are times I am afraid, I'm just going to trust in you. What a great statement. And then if you'll look at this great promise in Isaiah 41, and I've quoted this many a time, you probably have too, but a great verse, maybe frame it, maybe circle it in your Bibles, maybe print it, put it on a wall somewhere. Isaiah 41:10, notice this great prophet preaching at a very dismal, fearful time in Israel. He says, 41:10, God is speaking, fear thou not. How come? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, that means discouraged, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Five times God uses the word I. How come? He's majoring on himself. He said, you don't have to fear. I'm here. Amen. Five times he says, I. And very few times, me. God says, get your eyes off you, look on him. Amen. What a great promise. We talked this morning about just the different fears that in our nation right now we could have. Jobs, vaccine, no vaccine, mask, no mask, who you voted for, how much of your money the government's going to take, what are they doing with it? The evil that seems in our nation to have no bottom. Every day it gets more and more and more evil and vile. And it just seems like, what is this world coming to? Is it safe to go outside? Now you're starting to go to stores and you're seeing some store shelves are not filled like they used to be. I was at Panda Express recently and they said, we don't have these ingredients anymore. We don't make this dish anymore. We can't get the supplies anymore. And they're talking about, soon it's just going to be rice. Brother Benefield's favorite food. I know, he loves rice. Scripture said in Deuteronomy 20 verse 8, if you're taking notes, it was commanded when Israel went into battle to ask the soldiers, if you are fearful, go home. They said, because it will be contagious, it will spread. So before they went into battle, they said, if you're afraid, go back. We don't need you here, because it is contagious. A dad gets fearful, soon mom's fearful. Soon the children are fearful. A pastor gets fearful, soon the congregation's fearful. Government officials get fearful, soon the whole nation's fearful. It just spreads. Notice here, if we're going to be a fear remover, we've got to first deal with our fears. No parent, no leader, no grandparent will ever be a fear remover if we've not conquered the fears we're facing. Notice here in Joshua chapter number 1 for a moment. Notice Moses has passed away, Joshua 1. Joshua is now taken over. He's the Steve Young taken over for Joe Montana. He is now filling the gap. He's never done this. He's never led a million people. And notice what God says to him. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9. God says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. This is God speaking to Joshua, the new leader. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And you'll see that in leaders that take over in Scripture. Oftentimes God says, I want you to know two things. Be not afraid, I am with thee. Those go hand in hand. It's always hand in hand. Joshua, you're not going into battle alone. I go with you. And you'll find in his story later, before he went against the walls of Jericho, that Joshua went out of the city. He went outside of Gilgal praying. And it said, and he looked up and he saw a soldier. He said, are you for us or against us? And he said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. This is a good time for you to worship. It was Jesus Christ incarnate before he was born in Bethlehem, appearing to say, Joshua, I'm going in this battle with you. It isn't you guys going around 13 times. I will be with you. The battle is not yours. And so that's what the Lord often does. He tries to calm the leader down before trying to give him a job to do. Then I want you to see this also in the book of Judges, if you will, in the life of Gideon, if you will. Perhaps the most fearful leader in Scripture. And if you'll look, please, in Judges chapter 6. I know it's a lot of scriptures. If you have them all memorized, just kind of look up and quote them or something. But Judges chapter 6, if you'll look down in verse number 12. He is hiding the wheat. They're a conquered people. The Midianites have conquered Gideon's people. Verse 12, 6:12, and it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. So he starts to have these fears, fears of his inadequacy. Anyway, he doesn't feel like he can do it. He says, thou mighty man of valor. He's hiding to thresh some wheat. He's shaking in his boots. He will not face the enemy. And the angel says, thou mighty man of valor. He said, I don't feel like one. You know what the Lord does? He sees us as we can be. He doesn't see us as we are. Oftentimes he said, well, isn't that what Jesus did? He said, you're not Simon. I'm going to call you Peter, a rock. He often renamed people because of what he saw in them. And God sees something in each of us, potential, what we can be. So we see he's fearful. Look down in verse 23, please. And it says here, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. He builds an altar. Look a little bit further. In verse number 27, God says, tear down this idol. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household. And the men of the city, he could not do it by day. He did it at night. He feared the enemy. He had fears. Lord, I want to serve you, but I don't want to do it in front of the enemies. So he had this fear he had to overcome. And then we see a little further in verse 27. We just read that one. How about this one? Verse 37. Look a little bit further. God says, I've called you to be the leader. Know what he fears? He fears if he was really called. Look at it. He's thinking in verse 36, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand. Wait a minute. God already said, I will deliver Israel by your hand. But he had to make sure. He feared. Are you really going to use me? You ever been there? You're in charge of a class. You're going soul winning. Someone says, hey, this loved one is dying. Come win them to the Lord. And you say, I'm inadequate. I can't do it. Are you sure you've called me? Sometimes God has to remove those fears. I think of one or more of our adult teachers, when we called them in and said, we want to start these adult classes. It's like, well, good, man, we'll be glad. We'll attend it. No. We want you to teach it. You know, better to say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this, than to say, well, I knew you'd be picking me. God can raise up a humble person. He can also put down a proud person. So Gideon asked for a fleece, verse 37. Behold, I will put out a fleece. So he's asking for a sign. You know, it's like if the Detroit Lions win the Super Bowl, I know I'm supposed to be a missionary. You know, look, they're never going to win the Super Bowl. But he asked for a sign. You never ask for a sign or a fleece. Lord, if you want me to witness in my neighborhood, help there be a rainbow in the sky tomorrow. You don't ask for that. He said, I'll put out a fleece, make it wet one day, make it dry the next day. And God did it. He didn't have to. He was trying to remove his fears. Look a little bit further. Down in chapter number 7. Chapter 7 and verse number 3. I love this here. He fears loss. So he's got 32,000 men, I believe it is. And verse 2, 7 verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. And he was going up against over 100,000 people. I would say, no, Lord, you got your math wrong. It's not enough people. God says, it's too many. You got like 32,000. He says, tell the ones that are fearful, verse 3, to go home. And any real man is not going to go home. All right, attention. It's kind of a weird announcement. If anybody is afraid, you can go home. If you're a scaredy cat, go home. All right, at ease. 22,000, leave. I think I say, get back here. They left. Thank you, sir. Thank you for leave, sir. We are now leaving, sir. They headed out. Fearful. He didn't want them contagious. Then 10,000 more left. He only ended up with 300. So that taken away process, sometimes that's what God does to us. Amen. I can't believe God has taken away our house and the fire. One of our dear families had to go through that. I just can't believe this. You took it away. You've taken away one of my loved ones. You've taken away my job. Sometimes God has a taking away process. Sometimes a friend moves. Sometimes a job plays out. Sometimes he takes away our health. Life is just kind of, we start off with a good bit, and pretty soon we don't have much left when we die. God got him through that. And then look down in 7, verse 9 through 11. He is still fearful. I would be too. 300 soldiers against over 100,000. 7, 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host, sneak down to the edge of where the enemy soldiers are, for I've delivered it unto thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. So he says, look, I told you I'm going to deliver the army, but if you're still afraid, sneak down there, take a servant with you, and just listen to what they're talking about. And he sneaks down to the edge. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes God uses conversations to remove our fears. And out of the blue, someone says, one of the soldiers, I had a dream. Wait, let me do it right. I have a dream. No, it wasn't that one. But he said, I had a dream. And the guy next to him says, what'd you dream about? He said, I dreamed that this great big biscuit, a barley biscuit, was going to roll down a hill and wipe out all of our army. He said, that's Gideon. We are fearful of him. Gideon and his God, that's what the dream is about. That's what he's hearing them talk about. Then Gideon says, all right, Lord, I get it. Wow. I mean, man, they're mentioning about, they're dreaming about us. They're afraid of us. Let's go back. Now his fear is removed. He motivates the troops and they win the battle. God had to remove the fear out of the leader first. First. And then we see another character quickly. You say, well, how many characters? Nehemiah, just for a moment. The book of Nehemiah, it's before Psalms, of course. The book of Nehemiah, looking down in chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Here we go. Nehemiah chapter 4. Looking down into verse number 10, please. Nehemiah 4. He's trying to build the wall. Seems like just a simple task. He's just putting bricks on top of bricks. But get this. The outcome is going to be national effect. Well, what did Nehemiah do? He built a wall around Jerusalem. What did that do? It made people move back to Jerusalem. It made the nation come back to becoming a nation again. By building walls, something insignificant, he affected a nation. Sometimes we think, we pass out a tract, we knock on a door, we change a diaper in the nursery, we clean a building, we gas a bus, we drive a bus, we pick up some kids, we invite friends to church. What good am I doing? You're affecting a nation. Amen. And what Satan does to fight, he always uses fear. Notice how he uses it here on Nehemiah 4:10 for just a moment. 4:10. People are speaking. I mentioned this in our adult class this morning. Some of his workers are speaking. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there's much rubbish. We're not able to build the wall. By the way, always be careful what you say when you're around a leader. It doesn't take much to discourage them. You want to encourage. Go get them. Not say things like, we can't do this. This will never work. That's a dumb idea. That's what they were saying. And then verse 11, it got worse. They threatened to kill him. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them. And we're going to slay them and cause the work to cease. I mean, now it's death threats. And there's fear. Notice in verse number 14. And I looked and rose up. This is the leader. And said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid. Remember the Lord. See the fear remover there? They're threatening to kill him. And he says, hey, don't be afraid. We're going to finish this wall. Hey, the Lord is with us. Amen. He's removing fear. Look down, if you will, in chapter 6 for a moment, if you would. Chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9. For they all made us afraid. Their hands shall be weakened. Here it is, from the work. Satan wants the soul winning to stop. He wants the bus routes to stop. He wants the Spanish ministry to stop. He wants souls to stop being saved. He wants all of that stop. Right, then skip down to verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid. Verse 14, last phrase. That would have put me in fear. It's the attack was to make the leader afraid, and fearful. You got to deal with them. What attack is he using in your mind? Which fear? Is it the future? Is it loss? Is it loneliness? Is it lack of recognition? Is it lack of attention? Is it wealth? Is it riches? All the fears. Then we see the Apostle Paul for just a moment. Look over here in 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy. So, Pastor, we're using so many verses. I'm sorry we have a Bible. I apologize. I'm sorry we have to do this. And some people don't even have one. But 2 Timothy, if you will. This is the last chapter of Paul's life. He's writing from prison. Timothy ends up with this chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Decades before, Paul wrote, within were fears. He said, I went through a lot, but I had a lot of fears. He doesn't say that now. Look how he finishes. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, he's speaking to Timothy. It's like he's passing the baton before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his coming, at his appearing. Hey, God is judge. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Doesn't sound like he's fearful now, does he? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Hey, Timothy, preach the Bible. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the Bible. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. That's what he's telling Timothy. Here is an aged old veteran. He's going to have his head cut off pretty soon. He's saying, Timothy, get through the hard times. I did. You can. Don't fear. Finish your course. Then he says, the time of my departure is at hand. Departure means pulling up stakes. Pull up your little five-man tent. Pack it up. We're moving. Paul said, I'm pulling up stakes. I'm getting ready to move. Won't be long. I'm going to see him face to face. You know, when you get around someone that's close to the finish line, it ought to be more and more intense. You watch a football game, they may say, well, let's punt this down. Well, it doesn't look good. Well, we'll punt this down. You get down to 2 minutes, we're going for it. It's more intense. And it ought to be more intense. The older you get, you're about to see heaven. You're going to cross that finish line. Every word counts. Every decision counts. We got to put the fears behind us. I remember years ago, we broke ground for this building. And I didn't realize when you dig into the ground, you release the demons of hell. With one shovel in the ground, the school district wanted $26,000 more. And the city wanted a 6-inch pipe instead of a 4-inch pipe, what they told us. And then the electrician guy wanted us to do a different plan. And it just jumped hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know what that was? Trying to put fear in us. Fear in us. And also make us broke. I love what Jesus said in the storm. Peace, be still. Why are ye afraid? Jesus was in the boat and they said, don't you care? We're perishing. They're not going to drown with Jesus. I loved it on Resurrection Day. It is I. Be not afraid. He was always removing fear. So, what can you do to help remove your own fear and the fear of others? I want to give you 4 thoughts here, and we're out of time. Number 1, the presence of principles. Here's what he said. Why are ye afraid? Then he said, O ye of little faith. Where does faith come from? This book right here. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You hear a little, you get a little faith. You hear a lot, you get a lot of faith. You read a lot, you have more faith and less fears. You read a little, you have less faith and more fears. So we just got to be in this book more. O ye of little faith. In 2 Chronicles, let me read you something here quickly. If you don't want to turn to it, I don't blame you. We've about worn the Bible out. But 2 Chronicles, if you want to jot it down, is chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 15. It's a great verse. If you're going through a fearful season or a fearful time or the unknown right now, boy, I admonish you to maybe jot these scriptures down and look at them later. Here's what he says, verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Someone ought to just frame that in your house. And every time you're going through those sad times, just look at it and say, it's not my battle. That's what God says. That's God's word. God's word. And then let me give you this one too. This is a great one. In 2 Kings, a little story here. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me see. Trick or treat. It's still an hour left. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 6. And looking down in verse number 15. 2 Kings 6 and verse number 15. It's Elisha and his servant. 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host come past the city, both with horses and chariots, the enemy. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? We're surrounded." And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." That's what the leader, the man of God, said. Hey, I know we're surrounded, but those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And then he said, he prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. If they were going to get to Elisha, they were going to get burned. And sometimes we as leaders need to say to our fearful followers, "Hey, Lord, open their eyes. Help them see what's really there. This isn't really it. It's something beyond this." The presence of principles. Mention God's word. Notice in Acts 20, Pastor, my fingers are getting, what is that thing? Carpal tunnel. And I don't know if fingers can even get it. Acts 27. Paul is in the boat. He's the leader. He's the spiritual leader. People are looking to him. Acts 27. And notice what it says in verse 20. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." Hope is, what we hope for, it's done. We're doomed. And then someone spoke up and said this in verse 25. "Wherefore," this is Paul, "sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." That was it. The fear remover. It's time to eat. Not a soul is going to be lost on this ship. The fear remover. Never fear. Jesus is here. Fear. You'll freeze. You'll flight. Or you'll fight. All these effects. It's so powerful. Presence of the principles. Number two, the presence of prayer. Presence of prayer. Don't have time for it. Psalm chapter 91. It's the prayer chapter and all the benefits that come with it. The secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place, and it says, shall not be afraid. You spend time in prayer and the fear leaves. Okay, you help me. There was a disciple. His name was Simon Peter. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember? And the Lord at the Lord's table said something like, you know, there's someone here at the table that's going to deny me. And Simon Peter, I would die for you. And he said, "Really? Before the night passes, you're going to deny you know me three times?" No. You know the story. And finally, Judas comes, kisses the Lord's cheek, and this is him, and the soldiers come. Peter takes out, he's a fisherman. He takes out a sword. He's not a swordsman. He's not a killer. Takes out the sword, and he's gonna end the battle. So he chops one of the servant's ears off. Not the governor, not the head soldier, a servant. Cut his ear off. It's the best he could do. Fearful. And then it says, and they all forsook him and fled. Once he cut the ear off, he goes, "Man, I'm out of here." He runs. Then he's warming up at a fire, and a little girl says, "You have a Galilean accent. Aren't you one of his disciples?" "Oh, no, not me, young lady." "No, I think I saw you." "No, it wasn't me." So he starts cursing and swearing. You remember? Then he heard, Simon Peter never ate fried chicken after that. It's interesting. It was a chicken because he was a chicken. Fearful. Fast forward. You ready? Pentecost, 50 days later. They've been in an upper room, 120 of them. Guess what? But they've been doing for 10 solid days praying. Prayer does something to your boldness. The righteous are bold as a lion. So he's chicken. He won't witness. He's denied the Lord. And the Lord found him on the beach. You remember he gave him that that fish breakfast and said, follow me and back to the basics and so forth. And I believe his heart got right there on the beach next with the Savior. Now he's praying 10 days in the upper room. And then it says, and Simon Peter, standing up, he addressed the crowd. He said, I'll tell you what our problem is. Well, you were the problem for a long time, Simon. He got some things right. He is now standing. Then he's the one that speaks on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. And he's pointed. He says, you have crucified the Holy One. You have killed the Just One. It's you. Repent. 3,000 got saved. The next chapter, they arrest him and they said, you know, man, this guy's got some boldness. Where did he get that? Prayer. Prayer turned a fearful preacher into a bold preacher. Prayer turns a fearful Christian into a bold Christian. You know, I just can't witness, Pastor. I just get so embarrassed. I just can't. You spend a season every day in prayer. And we wouldn't be able to hold you back from talking about Jesus. They said, it's against the law to mention his name. He said, well, whether it's a law or not, I cannot but speak the things I've seen and heard. It was a different Simon Peter. He had changed. There's the presence of principles, the presence of prayer. Third, the presence of God's presence. Acts 23:11, Paul said, you know, the Lord stood by me. That's all you need right there, folks. You and God as a majority. The Lord stood by me. And then last, remind them of your presence. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, the Lord is with you, but people really like it when someone with skin is with them. I'm glad the Lord is with me in the hospital, but if I'm in the hospital, I'd really like someone else in there also. I'll end with this. It's in the martyrs' books. Several of the books I've read on martyrs, there's one out, I mentioned this before, By Their Blood. Every chapter is a different country, from China to Cambodia to Bolivia to the countries in South America to the countries around Russia, Mongolia. And it talks about all the people that have been killed in their country in our lifetime. In our lifetime. Not 1700s. Not 1800s. The 1980s. The 1990s. The 2000s. And tells how they were killed. Many were tortured. I was reading that in the Colosseums in the early Christian days when they were martyring the martyrs by either drowning, where they'd tie them up, especially the women, and just dunk their heads underwater till they could not breathe, then pull them up, they'd gasp for air and say, will you deny Christ? Will you blaspheme his name? No, I'm a Christian. They'd hold them back, they would drown them. Other times, they would put the kindling fire around them, tie them to a stick, and just light the fire. And they'd say, well, stop the fire if you'll deny you know Christ. Just deny him. Many of those were by the Catholic Church because they wouldn't baptize their babies or say communion saved them. Thousands and thousands, they estimate 50 million Baptists in belief were martyred. But something I just could hardly believe about that was when they condemned someone to death, oftentimes they would tie them to the stake and they'd get ready to light the fire. And their family members who love God, who were not condemned, who somehow they didn't condemn them to death. I mean, mothers, dads, parents, brothers, sisters, pastors, church members. When they saw their beloved friend and church member either being crucified or being lit at the stake, they ran up to the stake and cheered them on. Don't deny him. It won't be long till you get to heaven. Don't recant. You can make it. They cheered them on so they would finish well and not deny the Lord. When I read that, I said, wow. Sometimes it's just our presence that will help remove someone's fear. Let's do our best to be present for people when God leads you to be. So important, this thing of fear. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time. It is so common, just this little four-letter word, fear. Fear.